at various times on this bus tour that I took, they would play geography appropriate music, for lack of a more eloquent phrase. So, you know, when you're out in Wyoming, we got a lot of cowboy music and stuff like that. Believe it or not, there are not a lot of songs that mention South Dakota and Montana.
Really?
But we heard them.
I bet there's more Montana than South Dakota.
I think you're right. That's not a whole lot.
That's Ryan O'Halloran's neck of the woods, right?
He's a North Dakota fellow.
North Dakota.
And I wouldn't doubt that he's going there. I think I counted them up, Tony.
He is going there.
The states I have not been to now include Alaska, Hawaii, Oregon, North Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, I think Kansas. I've been to Missouri. Arkansas, I may have gone through, but I can't be 100% sure. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. So I got 39 out of 50 covered. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's not bad. And I did a lot of those on Touchdown Radio. I did a lot of them on this trip. Never thought I would set foot in the state of Idaho or the state of South Dakota or the state of Montana. Hit them all up on this trip. I'd been to, I think I'd been to Utah. I might not have been to Utah before, but I've been to Utah. Utah's gorgeous. The entire West is gorgeous, man. I tell you what. All you Floridians, I'm happy to be home, but what they say about the dry heat, it is absolutely true. 105 in Arizona is no worse than 92 degrees here in Jacksonville, Florida, with that humidity kicking in. So today we'll talk a bunch of Jaguar-related stuff. We got a question of the day that we've thrown out there, Tony, as we look ahead. Training camp schedule was released yesterday by the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's the storyline that people will most be looking forward to having answered in training camp or following along with in training camp? That's your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. And also tweet me about what a great job Tony did, because I know you did my whole vacation. Hey, man, Tony's killing it out here while you're gone. Take your time out west. So I got a lot of that over the last couple of weeks, and well-deserved, I'm sure. So if you want to be a part of the program today, 641-1010. We've got a lot to sink our teeth into. I'm going to continue to write you a picture postcard of the great American West, at least for a few minutes later on this program. Andrew Luck got a massive contract. We'll talk about that. It's the last day to party with Johnny Manziel, Tony, before he goes straight again.
Apparently, yes.
So, Gus Bradley, where does he rank among at least one pundit's list of the top coaches in the National Football League? We'll discuss that in the latest 10 players released, 11 through 20 in the NFL's top 10.
Oh, is
top
that still going on?
It's still going on. They're still dragging it out at this point in time. Khalil Mack made the top 15. That's pretty good. Came in 13th overall in the league.
He was an all-pro at two positions.
No doubt about it. I mean, I'm not saying it's undeserved. You look back, and I know Jaguar fans are very happy with Blake Bortles. Don't think that the Oakland Raiders are not happy with the combination that they came out with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack in the very same draft. So we'll highlight some of those picks as well as we go along. 641-1010 if you want to get in the phone lines. On the text line, still driven by Duval Ford, I assume. Nothing that drastic has changed in two weeks.
No, not yet.
That anyone's told me. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and hop on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Jaguars Today, rolling along. I'm back, whether you like it or not, on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it is good to be back in some ways. My mind is still out west a little bit, and that's kind of understandable, I guess. But I do love living in Florida. I honestly do. Wouldn't mind a few more mountains in the picture, Tony, after spending the time out west.
But welcome back to the heat.
I like playing
the furnace
golf. You know, or being able to play golf like 320 days out of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other 40, it rains, 24 hours straight, it seems like. But for the most part, yeah. Oh, there's a furnace out west. The biggest heat wave in years. But as I said,
it's a dry heat.
People kid about that. You kid now.
No, it's for real.
It really, 105 in Arizona is no worse than 92 degrees here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
You could tell just that week that we were out there in Arizona for the Super Bowl, because there were a couple hot days when we were out there, and it was like, oh, this is nothing.
Right, it's hot, but it's not oppressive. You don't have to change your clothes every 4 hours because you sweat through them at that point in time. So, but it was gorgeous, and I kind of geeked out on the whole thing, man. I as a kid growing up, Tony, until I was like, I don't even know how old I was, had to be a teenager, I had been to three states in my entire life. I'd been to Connecticut, New York. because I was born in Connecticut and family in New York. And you know what? I had also been to New Jersey, been to what they call up there the tri-state area.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we moved to Florida when I was like 9 years old, I'd been to Florida and never left Florida, never went on a vacation outside of Florida with the family, never did any of that till probably I was in high school. Or, you know, like with the exception of like the junior high trip to Washington, D.C. Did do that. But it was a very limited experience for me, you know? And I've gotten to see a lot of states through covering the National Football League and college football, and that's been great. But you don't get to see everything. No. You get to check them off the list, and that's kind of cool. And, you know, I've been all up and down the Mid-Atlantic now and you know, a lot of the Midwest. But going out west, other than for football games, you know, you go into Phoenix. I've been out there now for a couple times in Glendale for the Super Bowl. What do we see? You know, you see kind of desert landscape, but you see a, you know, it's a city and you don't get the full gist of it. So let me run it down for you and get it out of my system.
Let's do it.
All right. Here, this was the itinerary, and I'll tell you what was great and what is definitely worth seeing. We started with the Grand Canyon, basically, right? Stayed at the Grand Canyon Railway Hotel, took the train down to the Grand Canyon. Very cool. I mean, having never seen the Grand Canyon, you know, it's one of those bucket list things in American culture or whatever. So it was very cool to see. I'm not trying to downplay it whatsoever. It's just that Yellowstone was so amazing. You and I wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. It was just one of those things that it was probably a little biting off more than we could chew last time we went
out
to the Super Bowl.
So we went to the casino instead.
We went to the casino, and I dropped a few $100 on blackjack in about 30 minutes. We left the Grand Canyon, stayed in Williams, Arizona, take a train down, take a train back, stayed there again a second night, got up that day, went Colorado River rafting, not through the Grand Canyon.
Have you done rafting before? Have you done the whitewater rafting before?
That wasn't whitewater. This was just kind of rafting down. They have like 17 dams along the Colorado River.
Okay.
And this was one of them, Glen Canyon Dam. And so we go down the Colorado River, that stretch. It's not whitewater. It's pretty calm. You do see some ancient Indian or Native American, however you want to phrase it, petroglyphs that go back like 9,000 years. And they stop. They pull off to the side. You get out. You walk up and you see these carvings in the side of the mountain. But in the canyon, they said it only happens when it's really this time of year. We saw bighorn sheep, which was awesome, you know, just coming down the canyon walls and seeing, you know, these things climb these precarious, practically straight up walls. Just, you know, so it was gorgeous, right? Took tons of photos. Then we went later that same day on a slot canyon tour. And these slot canyons are, you know, like 6 to 10 feet wide, and they're exactly like they sound like. They're these tiny little slots between a mountain. And so we go out on this Navajo reservation, and they got to take you out there on a Humvee. It's like 20-minute ride to the middle of the Navajo reservation, which they say the reservation is bigger than the state of West Virginia. So it's just, as far as the eye can see, it's this desert. And then you get there, and you go through the slot canyon, and it's just this little canyon that's been carved by wind and water over thousands of years. And the way the sun hits it, and with, you know, it's like all these oranges and browns and yellows and just, I mean, absolutely spectacular. And was one of my favorite things on the whole trip. So we left there that day, drove to Cedar City, Utah, I think, spent the night there like as a halfway point to Salt Lake, drove to Salt Lake the next day, hooked up with our bus tour, just kind of walked around Salt Lake City, saw all the, you know, the Mormon temple down there, and you're not allowed to go inside unless you're a Mormon, but man, are they friendly. they're just like when they come knocking on your front door, Tony. They are very friendly, very friendly folk. Salt Lake City, as far as a major city goes, I don't know where it ranks. Right. Is it, what do you think, top 20 maybe in terms of population, something like that, top 30-ish?
I would think so,
Bigger than Jacksonville. Jacksonville's always like 47, 48, 49, something like that, right, in terms of market size. Cleanest city you can imagine. I don't know what the crime rate's like, but it's just absolutely spectacular. It's beautiful. You know, everywhere you look, there's another mountain range. So
Salt Lake City, 124.
Is it that low?
But it's probably because the city limit population, not the metropolitan area.
Well, I wonder what the metro area is for Salt Lake City. I would have thought that was bigger for some reason. Maybe, I guess it's not. What do you got for a population of Salt Lake City? What's Jacksonville, like a million? Something like that?
Salt Lake City, 192.
192, is that right? Wow. So it's like a big, small town, kind of, I guess.
Kind of, yeah.
Holy cow.
And this is as of the 2015 census. Jacksonville, 12th biggest city in the country. 868,000.
Okay, and that's city. That's not
directly
equipped,
in the
right.
city limits, correct?
Right, because Jacksonville, everything
it's all of Duval County,
right? All of Duval is Jacksonville. But in terms of metro areas, Jacksonville is usually in the 40s, something like that. Anyway, gorgeous Salt Lake City. We went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where Harrison Ford is a permanent resident there, a year-round resident there. My son was very excited to learn that, was thinking we would see Han Solo on the trip.
Oh, yeah.
We did not see Han Solo on the trip, although they told us the story. He flies helicopters out there.
Well, yeah.
And
he had the plane crash.
Yes, yeah. Right, exactly. And some kid got lost, and Harrison Ford will donate his time, like, you know, if they're on a search and rescue kind of deal, and he actually saved a kid, and the kid, for the rest of his life, had the story that Han Solo saved his life. And that's got to be a pretty cool, that's got to awesome. Be some swag for some, you know, preteen kid out there who got caught in the snow. What do we have, an update?
Update, Salt Lake City 1.17, that puts them 48th metropolitan area.
Okay.
Jacksonville has 1.17. 449, that puts them 40th.
Really? 40th?
40th. Correct.
Moving on up for the Jacksonville area. All right, so comparable, though,
Jacksonville,
between the two.
Jacksonville just bigger than Oklahoma City, Memphis, Louisville, Raleigh, New Orleans, and Salt Lake City.
All right, there you go. Learn something new every day. Went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Like I said, stayed at some, I mean, you know, I'm sure by Jackson Hole standards, it was probably a slum. It was absolutely gorgeous. By the way, at this point, Colin and I were doing Celebrity Hot Tub on a daily basis. Every stop we went, we had to find a hot tub. And so we were hot tubbing it in Montana. We were hot tubbing it in Wyoming, all over the place. Where we stayed in Yellowstone did not have the hot tub. We had enough to keep us occupied. Went rafting on the Snake River, which Snake River Canyon, far to the west, is where Evel Knievel tried to jump over with his rocket cycle way back in the day, back in, I guess, the 70s. So that was cool. Not as cool as the Colorado River. Colorado River is better. We stayed at the 320 Ranch in Montana, which when in the rest of my life would I have ever thought I'd go to Montana. Went whitewater rafting there, which was so great.
Oh, whitewater rafting's amazing.
I'm trying to think if I've ever done whitewater rafting, and I guess I haven't in my life. And it was so fun that we're already planning next summer's vacation to go whitewater rafting somewhere. At least Dad is. I don't know about Mom, but she liked it too. That was fun. That was on the Gallatin River right below Big Sky, Montana. Went into Yellowstone. We'd already driven through Yellowstone. We'd gone to the Oregon Trail Museum, which is in Idaho. When are you going to check Idaho off the list? You know, I never thought Idaho would make the list. Stayed in Mammoth Hot Springs, where everywhere you look, there were just elk walking around the hotel. I mean, you walk out the front door, there were 15 elk right there. It was so cool. Went hiking there. Was a blast. Saw all kinds of, you know, all the hot springs, the geysers, you name it. Went hiking around Old Faithful. Had a blast. Herds of bison. I mean, herds of bison. Grizzly bear, saw that. Grizzly bear with a couple of babies, a couple of cubs. Saw a black bear, saw antelope, everything but moose that I wanted to see. But that was pretty cool. Went to Cody, Wyoming, which they have like the Buffalo Bill Museum out there. They call it the Smithsonian of the West. All right. It was all right. Went to Deadwood. Were you a Deadwood watcher?
Not especially. I mean, I know what
you
Deadwood
know, you know,
is.
Right,
yeah.
Deadwood. And so people were shocked. I tweeted out a picture. Hey, we're going to Deadwood, basically. And people were like, wow, that's a real town. A lot of people knew. Not everybody knew that's a real town. It's where Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane are buried. So we hiked up. And it is a hike to walk up because it's at the top. It's like their own boot hill. It's at the top of the town. We hiked up to the cemetery up there where they charge you $2 to go traipsing around the cemetery. And from the looks of it, they're making a killing in Deadwood. A lot of gambling going on out there, by the way, in South Dakota. A lot of legal gambling going on out there. Mount Rushmore did that. That was really cool. They've got a night lighting ceremony where they, you know, light up the faces. Went to the Crazy Horse Memorial, which is outside of Rapid City, and that thing might never be done. And they've been working on that for decades. Have you ever seen the Crazy Horse Memorial before?
Like pictures, yeah.
Yeah, they've got like the head of Crazy Horse, the Indian, right, who fought at the Battle of Bull Run, you know, with Custer and, you know, at, what was that? Losing out of my mind. Little Bighorn, thank you. And so they've got his face and they've got part of his arm. They've got to do his entire torso and the horse he's riding on. All of Mount Rushmore fits inside the head of Crazy Horse. That's how big this thing is. Mount Rushmore is like 60 feet high when the Crazy Horse Memorial is going to be done, which is a memorial to all Native American tribes, not just the Lakota Sioux. It's going to be like 500 feet high. It's going to be the largest carved structure in the entire world, bigger than, you know, the Sphinx and all that stuff. So anyway, fantastic. Highly recommend it, especially if you've never been out west before. But if you can only do one, Yellowstone's the place, man. I'm telling you, it was just crazy just to see what America used to look like. You know what I mean? And the fact that it's preserved that way, and you know, you just got these wild animals just roaming free, and they live there, and that's their place, and they get first right of everything. You know, it's on you to stay out of their way. It was very bald eagles flying around. I mean, America. You know, it was just cool, man. It was just cool.
I know you want to do the rafting thing again. Did it make you want to go, like, take a trip down the Amazon or anything like that?
You know, no. Not really. This is more like...
See the world stuff that they have like that, where it's still kind of preserved?
I guess, I mean, it would be cool to do. I think it was cooler just, you know, the whole idea of the, like Jeff was kidding around about Lewis and Clark, you know, of American history and getting a sense of how big America really is. You know, even though I've flown around to different places, just to be in that national park was pretty spectacular, and to see some of the great American monuments. And the last night at Mount Rushmore, they bring up, we stayed for the end where they light them up with lights when the sun goes down, and then they bring all the military, they invite all the military past and present from the audience to come up on stage, and they participate in a flag lowering, and they fold the flag for the night and basically shut down the park. And then they go around and give the microphone to everybody in each branch of the military, and they say their name and their rank and what branch of the military and all that. This is very cool, you know, very kind of a patriotic deal, and just, you know, just to see the beauty of America. So it was great. I'll be done talking about it now because I'm sure you're wanting to talk about Jaguar football here on Jaguars Today, but had to get out of my system a little bit. I'll put it this way. If anybody wants any more info on any of those kind of trips, hit me up and I'll pass along what I can do for you as far as that goes. But highly, highly recommend Yellowstone. While the Grand Canyon, everybody knows about the Grand Canyon. If you're going to do that, do a slot canyon tour while you're out there. And definitely whitewater rafting up in the mountains, man. We were waking up, it was like in the 40s a couple of days, because, you know, a couple of times we're over 10,000 feet elevation for some of the trip. It was pretty chilly up there. We went on this highway in Montana that was voted the most scenic highway in the United States of America. God bless the bus driver, man. You would not want to drive in a compact car on some of those roads.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain switchbacks, and he stops, and they all have these scenic overlooks, like these cutouts and a little extra parking lane where you can just look out at the vistas. They have them built into the highway system. And he stops at this one in Montana, and the wind, I kid you not, is blowing at least 60 miles an hour. You can barely stand, and you're on the edge of the freaking mountain, and the little gate that keeps you from tumbling over is maybe 3.5 feet high, and I'm not the best with heights anyway. Now, the fortunate thing is the wind was blowing at us and not at our backs,
sure,
or I might not have gotten off the bus. But when the bus is parked and it's rocking back and forth, and you're on the edge of a cliff that just goes down hundreds and hundreds of feet, I don't want to be driving that.
No, I don't want to. No. Like, I've experienced that to some degree, like in the mountains of Tennessee. You know, when I've been in buses, that kind of thing, when it's been snowing, and you know, you're watching this guy drive, and you're like, whoa, like you're looking out the window of the bus, and it's just, you see nothing but the drop. Like, you can't see anything but the drop. It's pretty incredible.
Well, this guy was from Scandinavia. He's like, this is nothing. He goes, come to Europe, because trust me, this is easy to drive over here. But some of the highways out there are closed for months in the winter for what you're talking. You can't imagine them when they're perfect conditions.
I mean, I've read The Shining.
The
road shut down.
You can't get out here. The road is literally shut down, and we didn't get a drop of rain on the trip until like the last day. Rain for about 15 minutes, sprinkled for about 15 minutes in South Dakota. I can't imagine what it's like driving on some of those mountain switchback roads. And you could stop. They'd stop and let you look back and take a picture down the mountain of the, it looks like the Autobahn just winding through the valley. Just crazy.
That's
crazy
cool.
Stuff. Very cool. Very cool. All right, we'll get on to the Jags coming up next. 641-1010. If you'd like to join us, question of the day is out there. What is the storyline you're most looking forward to in Jaguar training camp? Coming up, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
My happy birthday to my son. You mean he's 12, Tony?
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Does that make you feel old?
I don't know,
man. A little
bit?
No?
I am old, kind of, in a certain sense. To a guy like you, I'm old.
Right.
You know.
Well, your parents always see you as a little one, 4 or 5 years old, and the next thing you know, they're 18 years old.
He's
off to college.
12, dude. It's crazy. I tell you, because Heather had induced labor, right? So we knew the day he was going to be born. We knew they were going to induce labor. I remember I did a show 12 years and a day ago asking for advice for a first-time dad. And I'll tell you, Tony, it was 12 years ago this very morning, right down the road, right, in what used to be St. Luke's, right here on Belfort is where he was born. I think it's called the family birthplace or whatever. And I told the story before, Heather ended up having a C-section, right, because he just didn't want to come out. And so she had a C-section, and I'm in the delivery room, and the nurse, they kind of lift up the baby and present them to you because you're not really watching. I don't want to see the blood
the
and gore,
yeah.
Right? I don't need to. I'm sorry. I want to see him. I'm there for you in spirit, and I want to see my son come into the world. And, it's not the most clean operation you can have, right? You imagine you're splitting open your belly. You're taking a child out. So Colin gets held up by the nurse, and he looks. I'm counting the toes and the fingers. I'm like, oh, God. He's a perfect little specimen. He's absolutely perfect, except Tyler, he's got this little nodule on his forehead. And you know how things run through your mind so quickly, right? Like, you can think all this stuff in 1 second. And I'm thinking, okay, it's no big deal. He's otherwise perfect. He's got arms and legs look good. Everything's good. It looks like he's healthy. In a couple of years, if he wants to have that removed, a little cosmetic surgery, he'll take that thing right off. And the nurse wipes his forehead with a sponge, and there it goes. Like, oh, there he is! There he is! My perfect forehead-having son. So happy birthday to my little man.
I'm going to love him anyway.
What's that?
Any big plans tonight? What's he looking to do? Is it one of those days where he does whatever he wants?
The Force Awakens. You're going to buy him The Force Awakens.
The video game? You think?
No, the movie's out now.
Oh, we've had that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You just
got to
watch it again.
No, we got the video game, though. He may have opened that this morning. That might have been the one present that he opened this morning. So I know what he's doing right now. He's playing the PlayStation Force Awakens game, which I guess goes through the stories of both Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, which he has deemed the best Star Wars movie ever. Trust me, he's seen them
a lot
more than I've seen them.
It seems like he may think it's the best movie ever.
Oh, probably does.
Based on the reaction to, I forget what it was. Was it, I can't remember what movie you were talking to about that you asked him about. Well, how is it compared to Star Wars? Was it Civil War?
And it probably was Civil War, and he just scoffed at me, something like that. So happy birthday to him and Mike Tyson. So they've got that in common. Facial tattoos in the future. The only thing, I just happen to know that because, you look up sometimes who was born on your kid's birthday.
Yeah.
There you have it.
I got Nelson Mandela and Vin Diesel.
For you personally?
For me, yeah.
I got a bunch of athletes. I don't think I have anybody of the stature of Nelson Mandela on my list.
Yeah. Nelson Mandela and Vin Diesel.
Colin's got Mike Tyson. Anybody else? He's got Nick Marshall of the Jags. Happy birthday, Nick Marshall.
Hey, Nick.
Mine is Kobe Bryant and Rick Springfield.
Oh, Working Class Dog.
There you go.
Love that album back in the day. Kobe Bryant's guy. I got Larry Bird, Johnny Bench, T.O., and Tino Martinez. And he doesn't really fit with the other ones,
but he's a Yankee.
He's a Yankee.
Oh,
yeah.
Also world famous Knickerbocker, Jeremy Lin.
Oh, of course.
Linsanity.
Linsanity, baby. All right, Tony, training camp schedule is out for the Jags.
Yes, it is.
They announced that yesterday, and a lot of practices open to the public, it appears. Practice will take place on most days from 10 in the morning to about 12:20, which seems to coincide perfectly with the broadcast time of one Jaguars Today program.
It certainly does.
That looks like we'll be doing some outdoor shows in the very near future. July 29th is a Friday. That's the first day of training camp. So that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they will practice. First day of August is Monday. They'll have that Monday off. Then they'll practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday night will be the scrimmage, which has become a staple down at Everbank.
They call that what? Family night, I think? Isn't that family night?
Yeah.
Family scrimmage night, whatever they call it now.
And then they get somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 people in there every year. And then look. There are a lot of season ticket holders that go to all these practices or as many as they can go to. But also, if you're not a season ticket holder, it's a good opportunity to see your team for free, up close and personal, in an environment where you can actually interact with them. In the stadium, in that case, the other practices where they can come by and they'll actually sign autographs for you right there as you're coming through. They'll have the rest of that weekend off after the scrimmage Saturday and Sunday. Then Monday, August 8th, Tuesday, August 9th, back on the field. And they'll have a couple of joint practices later on in the month of August with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in anticipation of their preseason game. And that'll be Wednesday and Thursday, the 17th and 18th of August. So today, question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. What is the storyline you're most looking forward to in training camp? A lot of people are already saying the battle on the left side of the offensive line, which I think is high on the list because you've got two positions that you can't guarantee who the starters will be. I think we feel like they certainly want Kelvin Beachum to be the left tackle. And based on Gus Bradley's comment from a few weeks ago where he said, look, when we asked him how long do you need to see him in action to give him a fair chance to win the job, he goes, well, we've seen the film. So they know what they feel he's capable of doing if he shows he's healthy. I think you and I would be shocked at this point in time if Kelvin Beachum's healthy with a few weeks to go before the start of the season that he's not the opening day left tackle.
And it sounds like he may be ready to go by the time they open training camp.
That'd be great.
Just with where he is in his rehab coming back from the torn ACL. And it does feel like they expect him to be the left tackle. And it feels like, whatever you think of Jokel, that he's going to get the first crack at left guard.
Right.
If that is the case, if Beachum is going to be the tackle. And if Jokel happens to win that left tackle spot, then maybe Beachum's the guy who gets a shot at left guard. But it does feel at this point in time like that's where that battle is going. Those two guys are going to be starting on the left side somewhere.
Right. And I think obviously the best case is the earlier Beachum's healthy, the better.
Absolutely.
And if you install him at left tackle and you presume, barring any setbacks, that's where he's going to play, then Jokel gets the entirety of training camp to do battle with Mackenzie Bernado, who seems to be the top competition for him at that spot to sort out who the best left guard is going to be. Article in the paper today about Josh Wells and his role on the team trying to work to be the swing tackle. If Jokel doesn't win the job, though, then as the left guard, then maybe he's the swing tackle, right? I mean, he played both in college. Played both sides his rookie year here. Played a primarily right tackle before he got hurt. And so then maybe Josh Wells gets bumped down. So maybe a case of if Jokel wins the job at guard. What did I say?
The guard job.
Yeah,
it worked.
Yeah, sort of.
It worked.
I'm back. then maybe that's better for a guy like Sam Young's chances to make the football team.
You know, Pete Prisco was in the studio with us on Tuesday, and we talked a lot about the left side of the offensive line. And I think Beachum's the guy that is going to eventually win the left tackle spot. And my sense is that they want him to win that left tackle spot. You also get the sense from the team and the people that you talk to that are around this team and around them during the OTAs, minicamp, all this that they've done on the field, that they feel good about what they've seen from Jokel when they moved him inside the guard. And there is this idea of, is Jokel strong enough? And in your head, you watch what he's done at left tackle, and you're like, is he really strong enough to play guard? Like, that's the big question I have about it. But I do think there is something to the idea of, you're taking away where Luke really struggles, and that's in space. And when you move him into guard, it's when he's isolated one-on-one with J.J. Watt. That's when he's really had problems in his career, and when you move him inside the guard, he should have less of that. That there's not as much space for him to have to deal with if he moves inside the guard. So maybe he does become a much better player just with that transition inside. And look, we talked to Logan and we talked to these guys for the last couple of years. They think he's really good in the run game. And if he is really good in the run game, then maybe the transition to guard is going to go a lot better than everyone thinks. It's just hard for me to wrap my head around that guy.
If those two positions, though, left tackle, left guard, are not ongoing week-to-week question marks for this football team, that offense can be really good this year, potentially. Really, really good. That's one of the spots we'll be looking at. We'll talk more about some of the suggestions that you sent in today on the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. What is the training camp storyline you're most looking forward to following? Coming up next, though, this date in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.